Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A million times, thank you. We don't say it near enough. What a nice reminder that was. We look at things, Father, and we try to figure things out, and we get caught up in the world, and we forget to lay everything behind and leave you work on it while we just enjoy the fruits of your labor. And enjoy thinking about what is yet to come. We all have that Spirit. Father, we ask that your blessings extend throughout this body here today to all those lives that we know that we touch, to the prayers that have been offered up, whether spoken or unspoken, to the prayers in this box, to those not able to be with us today for whatever reason, keeping them away. And quite frankly, for some, it is the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of salvation. Strengthen them, quicken them, bring them to you, and let our prayers be heard. Father, we ask that you would lift up so many things, but the children around this world, here in this country, 10,000 miles away. As we just learned this morning, we need to do all that we can to be disciples of Christ. And so we pray that as that time approaches, that it would be more filling than it ever has been on the record of doing this. And that more and more of your word gets sent out there. Thankful we are, Father, for marriage, for birthdays, for family, for friends, for those who watch over, protect, and keep us in whatever capacity. Thankful we are, Father, that we have a Bible that we can walk around and carry in our hands, open and freely, and talk about it. Pray that that doesn't get taken away from us. And that we are still one nation under God. Lift us up. Strengthen us to talk about your Son. Protect us this day, Father. Put us together in mind and spirit as we pray. Let the words that we speak be true and strong, that we understand why we pray them together as a body, so that we sound as one voice, the way Jesus taught the 5,000, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I know I'm going to get fussed at in the truck because I'm pushing hard on my voice. Look at it. You be quiet. I did not mention, and I meant to, that Charles Nayani and I have been communicating on the internet. And Charles sends his love and his prayers, and he's doing so much better now. And he's feeling good. And he's keeping me informed of what's going on. But he wanted to let you know he misses you greatly. He loves you. He misses me. And I've got to tell him, I am not going to Africa. Yet. But it could be. How lonely could you imagine being? Let's put that in your head for a minute. How absolutely lonely can you imagine being? I want you to think. A lot of people say, well, I'm lonely. Because you've been left alone for an hour. Ask my wife. The minute they leave the house, if they're gone for the day, it doesn't bother me. But whenever they go away somewhere, within an hour, I'm on the phone going, you coming back yet? I don't like to be alone anymore. I like to be left alone when I'm in the shop. I ain't lonely down there, because I know they're up in the house. But can you think about how lonely you can imagine being? Several years ago, there was a movie what come out, and I imagine most everybody has seen it or heard about it. And that movie was called Castaway. Y'all see that movie? He talked to a ball. I've talked to some wrenches in my time. Why don't you stay on that nut when I put you on there? But he was so lonely. He was thrown onto an island where there was nobody. And if you watch that movie, he was so lonely at one point, he started planning to take his own life. The world changed when he got back. When I was a boy, I read the great book, Robinson Crusoe. Everybody in here read that book? I know you did. A long time ago. You're not that old. Robinson Crusoe. He was a bad kid. You read the book? He was wild and he was ambitious. And what happened? He wound up on a deserted island with a Bible and a dog and two cats. Right? And he made his living there. And he got himself a buddy. And they came over there and he learned and he grew. And he talked about Christianity, and it's a great book. And if you haven't read it, I expect you to have it read this week. There will be a test. That includes you. Robinson Crusoe. I always imagined after reading that book that I could find myself happily marooned on a deserted island, except for one problem. There are no tractors there. But that total feeling of loneliness, have you ever felt it? Have you ever been caught in an absolute total feeling of loneliness, being kept from everything because what the world holds on you? I don't know if anybody caught it. It caught my attention and I read about it. There was an interesting story this week going around about this girl from out in Michigan. Anybody hear about her? She's, I think, 15, maybe 16. Anyhow, she was plain. She apparently didn't have a lot of money. They were struggling to make ends meet. She didn't have what you would call worldly good looks or a lot going on. She was different. She wasn't normal by what the world holds in a normal standard. She was an outsider. And so a bunch of girls in school decided it would be funny to put her name in as homecoming queen. Anybody hear about this story yet? Thank you, Pat. Well, she got all excited because her name was on the ballot and she got chosen to become homecoming queen. And then after she got chosen, these bunch of girls, who in my day and time would have had their rear ends warmed up for a stunt like this, went around and told them that it was all a big joke. Went around and got everybody feeling it. So this girl, this 16-year-old girl, now is the butt of a joke as the homecoming queen, and she's now really lonely, and it was crushing her and destroying her. And do you know what happened? The whole little community said, well, guess what? The joke's on you, you bunch of idiots. They donated a super beautiful gown in her favorite color, orange. And a local beauty salon brought her in there and tucked her down in a chair and did her hair and nails and whatever else you women have done in them places. And they prettied her up and they put paint on her face. And they worked on her teeth and the dentist worked on and got them cleaned up. And they bought her shoes and a limousine went and picked her up. And when she came in as homecoming queen, her father and her grandfather on each side walked her down the aisle up on the stage where she was crowned. And everybody in the place was wearing orange shirts in support because her favorite color was orange. And she said, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I don't feel alone anymore. I feel the love. Amen. But she was lonely. And she was so thankful She was crying. There's pictures of her with her homecoming king, who's there in his best football uniform, and he's got his arm around her, and he's smiling, and she's beautiful, and she's smiling, and the whole loneliness is gone. But the truth is, if you are different, and the world perceives you that way, you are shunned and kept out. It's the nature of things, and it hurts, and it makes you lonely. Now, maybe it ain't your fault. Maybe you're different and it ain't your fault. Maybe it's because you have, something like Mycobacterium leprae. Oh, I got a lot of looks on that. I'm trying it again. Mycobacterium leprae. That there is Latin, in case you didn't know. I had to practice on that. Nobody knows what it is. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 17. Eleventh verse, let's get started there. Mycobacterium leprae. And I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but I really don't care. You'll figure it out here in a moment. Luke chapter 17, starting in the 11th verse. Oh, I see a couple smiles start hitting people's faces. Follow along with me. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had Mycobacterium leprae, leprosy, met him. They stood at a distance. Make sure if you own a Bible, you underline that sometime. Verse 13, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Underline that. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." 10 minus 1 equals salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to go into the rest of this lesson, strengthen us that these words that will be spoken will be lifting us up and training us and teaching us, that we will be reminded of what our Christian work is. As we go from here today, prepared for the week yet to come, for what the world has to offer, Father, strengthen us. Let us be praising you for these words. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mycobacterium leprae. That's the last time I'll say it, because I'm getting looks like, if you can't say it right, don't say it. Well, I thought it sounded good. That's leprosy. Does anybody really know what leprosy is? Good, because you're about to find out, because I want you to be uncomfortable when I read this. Leprosy is a disease caused by bacteria. There was a physician named Gerhard Armour Hanson who found it. Left untreated, leprosy is progressive, causing damage to skin and nerves and limbs and eyes. And contrary to popular folklore, leprosy does not cause body parts to just automatically fall off. That ain't what it does. It works on the system and it tears, and it says they can become numb and diseased as a result of that. And as a result, the body's defenses being compromised will actually eat the cartilage and cause the fingers and toes and limbs to shrink in. Pretty serious business, wouldn't you think? You're covered with lesions, all over. Your fingers curl up and shrink in. Your body actually begins to pull into itself. In the worst cases, the spine starts to shrink. It ain't funny. And it was highly contagious. They don't know how it gets around. It has been contained. It has been able to be cured. If you're found to have it within 2 weeks, you can be cured of it without permanent damage. It's affected us for over 4,000 years. Right now, it's still estimated that between 2 and 3 million people have been cured worldwide today of leprosy. Quarantine is no longer necessary, but there are still leper colonies in India, China, Romania, Egypt, Nepal, Somalia, Liberia, Vietnam. Let me ask you a question. If you were shaking somebody's hand here in this country today, and I walked up to you and said, "How you doing? My name's Paul Leatherman. I just got over leprosy." How fast would you let go? It carries that kind of stigmatism still. Now, I'm not a smart man, so I'd get real interested in that. I'd be like, "Did you ever have anything fall off?" But it's a bad disease. It puts you in a place, and 4,000, 2,000 years ago, it kept you off to the side. It kept you away. And even as late as the 1930s, they couldn't treat it. It was bad to hear those words, leprosy. Even the way the Bible uses it in this moment is the correct way. This skin disease. You hear somebody say leprosy, and you start to conjure up everything. And in those days, you were done. You were thrown outside the city. You were shunned. And even though that you were inside of a leper colony, other lepers didn't even like to talk to other lepers. Can you imagine being that lonely? It would scare me to no end. And I know that's a lot to take in, but the fact is, it was real. To be alone, you don't need leprosy, but I wanted to set the tone. I wanted you to understand that even when you think you have the best friends in the world and are surrounded by the greatest group of people, you're still alone. The stories that I have read in research of this, of people that had everything and then took their lives because in their note, "I couldn't get away from the loneliness because of a hole they could not fill." Never found Christ. Can you imagine being that lonely? In order that they would not have leprosy anymore, they were subject to rituals by the Jewish leaders that would try to purify them. It was said that because you got leprosy, you were sinning too much. That's what it was said. They had to have things done to them, like spring water had to be placed in an earthenware vessel, and they had to have birds slaughtered into it, and the blood had to run out of that vessel, and then the leader or the guy purifying you would dip all that in and sprinkle it all over you on the back of your hands. And you had to be done by this many times. And the house was struck. And a slaughtered bird was carried around. And you had to have garments washed. And you had to shave everything off. And you had to wait 7 days. And if you didn't get healed, it had to start all over again. And after so many times, they just didn't do it anymore. You weren't allowed to be around anyone. I really want you to understand this. And even after you got healed, you still had to go through a long series of rituals just to prove that you weren't sick, including blood sacrifices of birds and cows and goats and toes, and I don't even want to get that far into it. And you had to use a special kind of olive oil. And after you were cured, well, maybe you got let back into society. So we go back to the scripture. We go back to this. And we see 10 men. The Bible makes it very clear. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They ran to him. They knew who he was. They knew that Christ was coming. They had heard all the stuff about him. They knew that he was going to be able to get him, to get them healed. And so they ran to him. Can you imagine being that lonely? Can you imagine being that lost, that you would run openly to somebody who you were not supposed to believe in? You were a Jew, one Samaritan. So they ran to him. Have you ever been so lonely that you would turn to anything to take the loneliness away? Thank you, Leroy. When I get lonely these days, I know Christ. And I can't get the loneliness taken away. You know where I go. That chocolate wonderful. Not so much anymore. But you're so lonely, you just look for anything. And so these guys were taken away. They were being destroyed by their own bodies. The body was literally eating itself apart. And they were in agony. And I cannot begin to understand it. Yet I want to know it because I want to feel it when I come to understand this scripture. Now enter Jesus. And hope comes to them. And they run to him. They don't touch him. He doesn't touch them. This is one of the coolest miracles in the Bible, in my point. He's like, well, just go on over there and tell the priest you're feeling better. Now, if I was one of them 10, I'd be like, what? Shouldn't you like do the hokey pokey or, you know, spread your arms or do something? No, go over there and tell the priests. Show them that you're cleansed. Okay. They take off and they're cleansed. As they're going to the priest, the Bible says they were cleansed, cleaned, done. I have children. I was once a child. And I would go up to my father, Dad, can I have a dollar? 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 What do you need a dollar for? Well, there's cookies on that table over there at the bake sale, Dad. Dad, I want to go over there and get some cookies. Okay, here's your dollar. Okay. And I watch my child go and get the cookies off the bake table. And then it goes to another part of the area. And he sits down and he eats all the cookies. And a little while later on, when he come back, he said, how's them cookies? Huh? You know, that dollar for the bake sale cookies I gave you? Oh, they were good. Did you think of Dad? Huh? Maybe Daddy wanted one of them cookies. Well, I ate them all. Gotta go, Dad. Not... thank you for letting me buy cookies. I was that child. Daddy, I need money. Daddy, I want this. And so we take off and we get something given to us, and too often we run off without thinking about it. You've been praying for something so hard. Lord, I want this job. I want this promotion. I want things to go better. I want to be healed. I want to get better. Can you get me through this time of trouble? Can you get me through this time of salvation or trial or tribulation? And then suddenly you're through it and you're on the other side of it. And about 4 or 5 days goes by and, oh my goodness, I forgot. I didn't say thank you right then. 10 men go off to the priest to get cleaned up. 10 men who suffered from the bacteria known as leprosy. 10 men who had been shunned and taken away and spent their time in loneliness ran off. James Chick, in his Chick Tracts. I don't know if you've ever read them. I love them. Them things scare me simply. I pick some of them things up and start reading them. And I'm like, I don't want to read these anymore. They make you feel bad. They make you think. And they give you hope. But I always like the drawing in there. Because in the drawing, the one I can always remember is how you're stained with sin. And he draws it so violently that person's down there in the river, in the bathtub, washing, washing, washing. And the sin won't come off. And the only way the sin would come off is ping, the touch of the Savior. And then shroom, it's gone. They couldn't get rid of leprosy. They got touched. It was gone. They ran off to tell the priests. They're all happy. I get to come back in society again. Look, I'm healed. Do whatever you got to do. I get to go back. And we often do this. And only one came back to say what?
Thank you.
Thank you. The Bible says he didn't just come back and say it. Verse 16 says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Now, I'm a pretty big old boy. I don't really throw myself anywhere. I trip a lot. But can you imagine me throwing myself at Jesus' feet? But that's what I would do had it healed me. Threw. Yeah. Landed. Praising him. Thank you. You did this for me. Thank you. And guess what? He wasn't even a Jew. The Bible makes sure. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus knew what happened. He had already had it figured out when he turned them loose. Where's the other nine? Didn't they get cleansed? Aren't they coming back? Is there nobody going to praise to God? Notice he says not himself, to God, except for this foreigner. In verse 19, he says these words. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's translate that. You ready? By your faith. You are saved. By your faith, you will enter in. By your faith, you have been given salvation. By your faith, you returned back to say thank you. By your faith, you will enter into eternal glory and you understand who I am and what I have done for you. Rise and go. Do you think that old boy got up and went talking about Christ after that and became a disciple and couldn't shut his mouth about it? Funny, right? I didn't know you were going to do Good Samaritan today. And here we are talking about Samaritans again. In Sunday school this morning, because I got to be the teacher, much to the horror of my children, I asked them to give me a list on the board of five things that they knew about Jesus Christ. And they came up with some good stuff. And then I asked them. Well, I said, he was loving. He helps us. He's trustworthy. He's loyal. He's righteous. He's holy. He gave us salvation. And I said, so what do we do in return for all of that? We thank him in prayer. Because you see, in math, in my world, 10 minus 1 equals salvation. 10 went, 1 came back, saved. That's the part that I want you to understand. When you talk of Christ, you might talk to 10,000. Somebody's going to be saved. Because you know why? Thank you, Brother Frank. Somebody sat in this back pew back here because somebody invited them, Brother Mark. And they heard the call. 10 were cleaned. 1 was saved. Isn't that beautiful? Can you say amen? Amen? I see a lot of heads nodding. It's okay to talk to me. That's where we lose it. That's where I've lost it this week a little bit. That for everything that I struggle with in trying to get it going, and I know it's exactly the same for you, that everything that we struggle with, guess what? We have blessings. You're up and walking, ain't you? You got up in the morning. You got a chance somewhere along the way to talk about Christ. You may not have taken it, but you had it. You got a chance somewhere along the way just to look at somebody and say, hey man, you're blessed. I'm praying for you. And I'm telling you, I love the analogy. I'm going to use that one. You're going to have to copyright that one, Brother Frank. Well, we came in that door when I was six, four. We came in that door when I was married and accepted the Lord. We come in that door every Sunday. I guess the next door we'll come in is the door out of the grave and up into heaven. Amen.
Amen.
May have been sounding like a joke, but that was really good. I just hope that he comes back now. Because if you leave before me, Brother Frank, and I happen to be here when he comes, and you come out of that ground, I'm going to be going that way. Not really, but it sounded funny. We get cleansed every day. We say thank you every day. We lift him up in praise every day. We remember every day that the world that wants to separate us and part us and take us off to the side and make fun of us because you wear high water pants, or you like wearing bib overhauls, or you don't have the right house, or your kids don't go to the right school, or the world that makes its decisions for you, and too many of us fall into that trap. When we don't do it the right way, we get shunned and we get put off to the side. Well, guess what? Who cares? Because we don't have to be lonely with him. And we need to remember that when we're cleaned up, run right back and thank him. Amen. 10 minus 1 equals salvation. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, when we are at our worst, you are at your absolute best. When we are messing everything up like a tornado out of control, you are putting it right back together again. When we are making ourselves as dirty as we can, you are cleaning us up. We need to remember to say thank you. And we need to remember that everyone deserves salvation. Everyone. And that in our praise and in our thanks, we talk of it fully and openly. And do whatever we can, wherever we can, with whatever we have to talk about and to reach out to lost souls. Oh, great Father, we are so blessed with so many things. Let us share those blessings with so many that are out there looking at this day. Thank you, Father, for teaching us that while we were in the ten and came back, we were the one for salvation. Let us continue to pray for the other nine as you have taught us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we sing the last hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. The altar remains open for prayer, for strengthening. If you need that, if you need to know Christ a little closer, if there's something on your mind you need that extra prayer for, you can come forward. Join me up here. I'll be happy to be with you.
Please stand and turn to page 591.
have thine own way, Father. As we go from here today, as we walk that path, have thine own way. Strengthen us, mold us, shape us. You are the potter. Take us on through this next week. Bring us together, Father, for prayer meeting Wednesday night. Let the whole church be filled with those desperate to pray. As we go forward, may we be called together again in your name, either here or over there. Now may the grace of our Father and the saving power of Jesus Christ, combined with that of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all now and forevermore. Amen.